Anita, how's your mental health?
Questionable at all times, you know this.
Yeah, how's the mental health of your children?
Also a little bit tricky. Can I tell you my experience in trying to find therapists for myself and my kids, Mel?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is how it goes. You ask around your friends and your family for a referral for somebody who's nearby. You finally find somebody who sounds like they might work for your family. You give them a call and you find out that A, they're not accepting new patients, or B, they have a huge wait list. So you start over again and you ask people if they know anybody who would be a good therapist and a good fit. Finally, you find one, you go and you meet with them, and you figure out that you don't actually like them that much. But it's been so much work to find somebody who you can go to in your area that you're kind of stuck with them. Well, do you have any ideas for how to get around this?
I do because guess what? I've actually had some therapists that I have found on my own, which involves what you're saying. Sometimes I remember one time I was like 3 hours in the bathtub on my phone looking through websites. I was such a prune at the end. But I have also had the experience with working with BetterHelp, and it was like I don't want to say too good to be true, but because it is true, but it's like amazing because I was matched with my therapist within 24 hours.
And you didn't have to go through all of that other ridiculous process of trying to find somebody. And here's the cool thing, too, is if that person didn't work out for you, you can just switch and say, and it's not like you're committing to another years long search for somebody who you're going to jive with.
That's true. And I lucked out, or maybe just BetterHelp is really good at matching people together because I never had to change my therapist. I loved her, perfect fit for me. And I know that some of our friends have used BetterHelp and they've had to change therapists, and boom, same day, you can change.
Easy
You can ghost your therapist, get a
peasy.
new one.
I love this idea. BetterHelp is one of our sponsors. If you use our promo code trybetterhelp.com/WWDN, you get 10% off your first month, and we totally recommend it.
Yes, get some therapy. That's
Ha.
trybetterhelp.com/WWDN. Hi, Anita.
Hello, Mel. What's our topic of the day?
Ooh, our topic of the day is overwhelm.
I feel this deeply within myself so much. I mean, I feel like all humans on the planet Earth probably feel overwhelmed, don't you think?
100%. Yeah, this is not just specific to widows, obviously.
But I feel like it gets put on steroids when you're a widow. Like, think about all of the things that we're responsible for. We used to have two people to take care of all of the household chores. We had two people to do meals and laundry. And could we even get started about household maintenance? I'm in the process of trying to buy new car tires, and I like panicked and ran out of the tire store. So because like that's not my job. I'm not supposed to have to do that. And now I'm having to take on that role and mow the lawn and fix broken sprinklers and shovel the walks. I mean, it's just like it's just too much, right?
Yep, it's too much. And so those are like task sorts of overwhelm. So very like day-to-day sorts of things, which by the way, both my mom and I have a clogged sink in each of our bathrooms and it just keeps filling up.
I have one of those snake things you can use.
Oh, can come over to my house.
Okay.
Okay,
We'll
cool.
hashtag plumbing wall widowed, which is my favorite hashtag of all time.
I love it. Okay, you're hired.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, those things are stressful enough as it is, and there's also overwhelm with not having somebody that can calm your fears. If you're like, am I stressing out about this thing? And they can
Right.
say, well, I see that that's stressful, but you're doing great. So I think it's easy for us, like when we don't have someone to bounce stuff off of, that we
Yeah.
just like sit and we have a loop in our mind and it just escalates and we ruminate over those things. So there's that. There's also overwhelm of our what?
My kids are slamming doors outside of here. That's another part of overwhelm. Like when you have to solo parent over, like that's in and of itself is enough to send anybody I want to join the circus. Who will take me? I'm not very flexible.
Okay.
Can't juggle. Actually, I can a little
You
bit,
can
but
juggle. Oh, and look,
yeah.
my dog's right here. I actually, speaking of I know you have kids and I don't have kids and I have dogs and they are very, very different things. And it's not like my dogs yell at me all the time or I have to like take them to school and all sorts of things. But when my nervous system gets overtaxed, I can't even handle them like touching me or breathing on me or wanting things. And I'm like, okay, there's something clearly wrong. Not with them, because they're just being dogs, but with me. So input overload is another source of overwhelm, especially for our brains. Like if you have like a PTSD brain, me raises all of us hands.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes things that perhaps used to be a little bit less stressful kind of be amplified.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you've hit on a really great point, and that is that we're all dealing with what we like to call widow brain, right? Which is kind of the physical manifestation, memory loss, not memory loss, but like short-term memory loss, having a hard time keeping track of things, having a really hard time with overstimulation, not being able to multitask. And so you take that deficit and you add it to an increase in responsibility and you mash that together. And it's like, it's a recipe for nothing good.
Your fancy words overwhelmed me and my widow brain checked out.
You're welcome.
Thanks. That's what I'm here for. Yeah, there's a lot going on with our brains. And for example, just for context, I am coming up on 5.5 years. Can you believe that? Being a widow?
Crazy. Yeah.
My short-term memory still is not great. It's much better than it was in the beginning. But here's what's interesting. In the way beginning, and I know I've talked about this before, but I'm going to say it again because we all have widow brain. My brain was so offline that I was only in the moment and I had no overwhelm. For like a week, I was like, yes, I don't have to be anywhere. I can't remember anything that's happened. Like I'm living in blissful ignorance. But there were things that came like an avalanche on top of me after I exited that like amazing, like ridiculous state of mind. So a lot of things still maybe haven't gotten done since Scott died. For example, I did not realize that there was a site where you have unclaimed property because I was so overwhelmed with funeral planning, helping everybody else to grieve the death, like the business of death, which is itself overwhelming. Like there's so many things. Social Security, can you qualify? Insurance, taxes. So there's a lot we're dealing with on top of regular stuff.
You're welcome for helping you to know that there's that unclaimed property side.
Also, thank you for that. And thank you for reminding me that I never responded to their email because I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. You just said something that was also really an interesting point, and that is the idea of letting some things go. So I've had to, actually before I was a widow, people would ask me, which is just ridiculous that people ask me this. They'd be like, how can you do it all? Because, you know, like I do a lot of racing and a lot of like training for those races. And I would always say, I definitely don't do it all. Like I am very mindful that I choose to let some things go. Like my house is not spotless and it never will be because that is not where I put my priorities. And I know I can't do it all. And so I don't. And sometimes it's hard and I beat myself up about it when I go to somebody's house and it's like beautiful Pinterest house. And I know that my house is not that and never will be that. I'm like, oh, you could do better. You should do better. You know, you're not good enough. I have to say like, no, like take a step back because those people are probably letting something go as well, right? It just might not be visible like it is for me. And most of those people have a living spouse. So
yeah, for no business of death that's looming over their heads. Yeah, I think that's interesting. It's true. I think there's a Joni Mitchell song, Both Sides Now.
Oh, yeah.
Where some things lost, some things gained. So maybe people have a pristine, spotless house. Maybe they're lacking in another area. Or, I mean, maybe they're Mary Poppins and they're perfect. There could be that too. But I know that I've had to make some allowances for perhaps a clean room or basement so that I could maybe attend therapy or go skiing because I'm like, well, that will also help me to handle overwhelm. And yeah, you got to pick and choose. So how do you decide what to choose?
That's a really good question. And I was just going to point out that some of the things, like, it's not like we're choosing a good thing over a bad thing, right? A lot of times you have to choose a good thing over a good thing. And sometimes I like to label things as like good, better, best. It's not like I'm choosing to, my motto in life was always like, well, it's better than meth, right? To make myself feel better about my choices. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like having a clean house is a good thing and exercising is a good thing. It's not like choosing one of those is like, oh, it's the wrong choice. Do you know what I'm saying? So I like to figure out what's going to be the best thing or the most useful or make me feel the best and do that, even if it means choosing something that's better over something that's good. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And also, yeah. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on, like you just said, choosing what makes me feel best. Sometimes, like, quote, best might not mean that you are on top of the world. It might just mean like you're barely like slugging on through, right? Like, yeah. How can I be the least worst? That's me.
Yeah. I mean, that's, as widows, I think a lot of us feel that way sometimes. Like, what's going to be the least worst thing that I can be dealing with right now? So,
yeah. You know what one thing is that I've had to kind of cut out as I've, I mean, it's shifted definitely over my time period of being a widow, what things cause overwhelm in my mind and what things don't. But one thing, as I've kind of sort of reentered a regular person life, not just widow community life, is observing who I can trust and who I want in my circle. And actually, like, I got overwhelmed with feeling like I had to maintain every single friendship that I've ever had. And I realized I was responsible for most of the communication or most of the reaching out. And so once I realized that, I was like, are these certain people like actually my friends? Like, are they there for me? Like, is it mutual? It's like, oh no. So I had to actually kind of like, quote, divorce some friends. They don't know about it because they never reach out to me. So they probably don't miss me. But that was a source of overwhelm for me because I'm just like, I'm always trying to surround myself with like the best possible energy, whether it means just myself at the time or friends or events or situations. And that was something that kind of was eye-opening to me about what was causing me stress and overwhelm.
Yeah, that's so interesting because you would think that friends would be a beneficial thing, but overwhelm can come from anything that takes up your energy, you know, and good things take up our energy too. So that's kind of interesting. What about, can we talk about self-care right here? Because everybody is always emphasizing self-care. And I've heard a lot of widows kind of get angry about that because they're like, okay, you tell me at what point in time I can go get a massage after I wake up early, make the kids lunches, I go to work all day, I come home, I have to be a parent. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just don't have all the time in the world for most of us to do self-care. So how do we deal with that?
Okay. I actually heard a quote this week and it was, the time that you most need self-care is when you are not able to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like the ever-present question. I think you have to minimize stuff and break stuff down and, like, let things go. And I don't know what it's like as a parent, though, because, like, how are you going to let go of 4 children?
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing when you said, like, let things go. I have felt like I've been letting things go so much. And I feel like there is a bottom level, right, where you can't let go much more or things that the world will cease to turn for your people that are relying on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, a clean house, fine, we can let that go. But like, people do need to eat, even if it's just like frozen chicken nuggets, like they still need those. So there is a bottom to that, I feel like. But the thing about self-care that I think is a little bit tricky is that sometimes in our head, what we have as an idea of self-care is not the only forms of self-care. Like, you don't have to take an hour out of your day to go get a massage. It doesn't have to be a pedicure. You know, it can be things in 5-minute chunks. It can be listening to an audiobook while, you know, while you're doing the laundry, things like that. And it just takes some creativity to try and decide what is going to be self-care and to maybe think outside of the, like, quote unquote, industrialized self-care, you know, what people point you to when they talk to you about self-care.
I totally picture in my mind's eye, every time I hear the word self-care, a woman in a bathtub with bubbles.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Right?
Like,
because that's
a glass of wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, for me, nachos, definitely. Actually, that is one of my ways of self-care. Like, you have to bathe or shower, right? Like, sometimes I have to leave my phone out of the shower or out of the tub and really try to, like, get my mind kind of back and centered. And it's hard because, like, our phones also, like, have games on them that help us kind of decompress sometimes. Or maybe they stress us out because, like, you can't get that one level in Best Fiends or Candy Crush. So, yeah, I think that that's a good point, that being creative and not just thinking of, like, the regular, you know, ideas of self-care is helpful. Like, not everybody can go get a massage.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a whole year and I have, like, some sort of membership somewhere and it's like, oh, okay, well.
Me too.
Oh, where am I going?
I pay every single month and never go get a massage. It's more work to go get the massage for me than it is to have the massage. It's like this funny thing in my brain. So,
yeah. It's so funny. Yeah.
There has to be other things.
Have you had any creative ideas that you've come up with for you?
Yeah. Like, even just, I mean, it sounds silly, but sometimes playing Candy Crush is self-care. You know what I'm saying? Instead of doing the thing that you feel like needs to be done, doing the thing that just feels like a total break from your mind. And again, it's hard when you're really busy and you have all of these tasks and all of these people needing something from you, right? It's hard to take that little bit of time to do something like that. But also, like I said, like listening to something while I'm folding laundry or doing dishes or something like that, that feels like a strange form of self-care as well, because it makes it a little less onerous. So, and you guys all know, if you follow us at all, that exercise is my, like, I put that ahead of almost everything. Feeding people, schoolwork, like, it's the most important part of my day. So, yeah, like, schoolwork even doesn't get done if that's not going to get done. So, sorry, teachers.
And I have recently been in the same boat, because since I've been skateboarding and skiing and, like, had so much extra trauma just in the past year added to my existing trauma, the only way that I can keep myself in a, like, in, out of that scary part of sinking mentally is to keep moving and to keep exercising. And so the way that my brain works anyway is I hyper focus on anything I'm doing if I like it. So I think for a survival mechanism, I was like, must exercise, must do this. I have a ski pass. I must go all of the time. And I schedule, I've always
Robot
been like
bell.
This with skiing. I schedule my students around my ski schedule because it's whatever. It's just been this way. But I'm also like, this is good for me. It's helpful. It gets me out of the area for a second. I can breathe better. I come back and it's given me perspective. And but that too can actually turn into overwhelm. Like, sometimes I stress myself out so much if I, like, can't make it to skating or to skiing, that then I have to not go one other time so I can, quote, self-care. And sometimes self-care is, like, just not going.
Yeah, I know. It's true. And I struggle with that too. Sometimes I'm like, well, actually, you're feeling kind of sick. And it's like, no, I have to do it. It's, yeah, nothing's easy, right? It just can't be.
Yeah. What do you think about the concept of centering yourself?
Oh, this is such an interesting idea, because I try never to think about anything. I never center myself. I'm always just like distract. But it probably is a good thing to take a minute and do the, you know, the centering and the calming and the finding where you are and the grounding. So yes, I recommend it to everybody, and I never do it. Sometimes we assume that unless we had a huge life insurance payout, we don't really need to know anything about investments or even finances. But guess what? A little knowledge of finances is critical for all of us. Maybe your partner was in charge of that stuff, and now you find yourself making all the decisions. Maybe you're mad about that. Maybe I am. Nicole from the He's Gone, But the Money's Not podcast is here to help. She tackles financial literacy by telling the stories of women and widows and finance experts and shares the lessons they've learned as certified financial planners. Whether you know a lot and feel confident in your financial decisions or feel unsure about all of that stuff, there is more to learn. Listen and subscribe to the He's Gone, But the Money's Not podcast on all podcast platforms. This ad was paid for by Rockhouse Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The thing, same also. And it's so funny because then on the times where I remember that it's a thing and I could do it, and even like 2 minutes of breathing and centering and leaving my phone out of the room, even though if I might think that's such a big, you know, sacrifice to do, I always feel better when I do it. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm so dumb. Then I beat myself up because I was dumb and it was an easy solution and it like calmed me down. But also, we've talked about this as widows and it's very important. It's clinically documented and studied and blah, blah, all that fun stuff. But our nervous systems are like on overload. And so bringing yourself down into, they call it a level of tolerance, window of tolerance, for those familiar with that. That's something that's super helpful. Would you like to explain a little bit about that, Anita?
Yeah, sure. So there's this, the window of tolerance is, you know, you're like hyper stimulated, like everything's crazy, super anxious, everything's like too much, you're going to explode, and then too little. And you're like in a depressive state where you just are like no emotions, no feeling, no anything, don't want to move, don't want to get out of bed. And that middle part is the part where we're really like functional. And if that can be a little bit wider, then that's always a good thing. If we can tolerate a little bit more of that anxious state, or if we can tolerate feeling a little bit sad and a little bit blah sometimes, that's a really good thing. And the cool thing is I feel like there's a lot of things that can help us get into that middle state. And it doesn't have to just be meditating with your feet crossed, you know, and your hands like this, like my kids like to pretend to do. There's so many ways to kind of access some of that, that I feel like everybody, there's something for everybody in that, you know, being out in nature, talking is one also, seeing water, like EFT, the tapping, yoga, the actual meditation. There's just lots of options for that.
Yeah. So these are all options that help your, is it with parasympathetic nervous system, which Anita is so smart about, like that. That is the calming part of your nervous system, right? So that needs to be activated.
Yeah, that's the part where everything's good. We don't need to be worried about getting eaten by a tiger. We're able to just take care of our basic needs and everything's cool. And it's how we should be functioning for most of our lives. But as widows, we're very, very often using our sympathetic nervous system, which is the run from the bears, run from the tigers. And our bodies aren't smart enough, or our brains aren't smart enough to know that there is no bear. We're just dealing with living in the year 2023 with a dead person. Yeah. Not living with a dead person.
Awkward.
I don't have a mummy in my house, but some of us have urns. So it could be. Yeah, true, could be true. Yeah.
So basically, you're in survival mode if you are in that state. And it makes sense. Like, look at all the stuff that we're dealing with. So any little thing that you can do, the thing that sucks, it's like you have to actually do it yourself. Nobody can be like, here is a gift card for calming yourself down. Like, it takes a lot of work in your brain. What? You didn't know that?
We should sell that. We should discover it and sell it. Yeah.
Then we'll end up on a true crime documentary. These two widows, they scammed all of us. The promise of a gift card.
It's a cult. We definitely set it up as an MLM, don't you think?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And then after that, cult. I just want to wear a robe. Anyway.
All forms of self-care, Mel.
Yeah, guys, you could start a cult for self-care. Things that get your body engaged are helpful. Like my therapist we were talking about this recently and I'm like, I am stressed out. What do I do in the meantime between now and when I see you next? And she's like, Well, things that help like stimulate touching, like if you, that sounded strange, but like she was like, yeah, so like a massage. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. that's right. And again, we talk about this stuff all the time. We interview people all the time. We've had a podcast for 3 years and we know this stuff, but also we forget because we're humans with broken brains and we're humans in general. And it's like things where you can get your body to be more grounded, it's going to help your mind as well. And that brings up the importance of the mind-body connection.
Which is like, it's so funny that we treat them like they're different things, but they're all part of your body and your brain controls your body. So they're like, they're not separate. They're one and the same. And yes. It's just, it's such an interesting concept that we like to treat them as if like the brain and the body have nothing to do with each other. I don't know.
I've actually, like, as I've had to go through some more healing things, been really cognizant of checking in with my body. If I'm starting to maybe feel overwhelmed, or if I can tell that my brain is, like, starting to spin, I'll ask my body. I know that sounds like woo-woo and whatever, maybe it is, but it's like, okay, body, are we okay? How are you doing? Because your body always knows. That we bypass it a lot. That's the thing. It's like, aren't we maybe getting stress signals from our body, but then our brain's like, oh, I'm wrong. No. Mm-hmm. And it overrides it. And so checking in with your body and then checking in with your mind, that's something that I've been trying to do.
Yeah.
To help me make decisions.
Or our brain says like, I don't care. Like this, we have to get these things done. We're going to power through this. And that's also like, oh, it's hard. It's so hard. Well, I don't know if we've solved overwhelm for anybody. Have we, Mel?
I don't think anyone can solve it ever.
Have we solved it for ourselves?
No. But on the wall. I think we can give ourselves compassion, remind ourselves that we are healing, remind ourselves that things always change. I think it's easy to feel like once I get to X level or X amount of time past the death or X, or this stressful thing gets over with, then I will be fine forever. Of course, that's not true. I mean, and the same could go for feeling good. Like, well, I don't need to worry about self-care because I'm not overwhelmed and I will never be overwhelmed again.
So it's funny that you brought up the idea of like time after death, because I feel like in the beginning, we give ourselves a lot of grace and other people give us a lot of grace. And now you are 5.5 years and I'm 4 years out. And that grace, I feel like from others, is waning, and it's also waning from myself. You know, I expect myself to be able to do more, and something that I have to do a lot. I just was like inhabited. Something I have to do a lot is actively stop caring about the judgments of others. You know,
That's hard.
It is really hard, and I'm really good at pretending I know what other people are thinking about me without having any idea what they are thinking about me, and having to just let go of that and thinking to myself, they don't know what I'm dealing with. They don't know how it is to live without a spouse, you know? And if widows are going to judge me, then fine. But I'm only accepting judgment from widows.
Please, I really hate getting widow judgment though, because it makes it feel like an extra stab to your soul, because it's like, But please. I know it's hard. This is just something that's kind of been in my thoughts recently. Like, I haven't super investigated it, but I know that because I'm a kidless widow, that perhaps other people, and I'm kind of talking about social media, which is a whole whatever. Bag of worms. Anyway, I feel like others are expecting me to like just never speak about any widow things ever, because like you can notice who engages with your account and on what sorts of things, and I'm like, I notice who does and who doesn't, or who's supportive or who's not. And I'm like, oh, they think that I'm doing this wrong. And then I have this whole conflicting battle in my head of, well, Mel, you just need to be quiet, and like, you have your podcast, but like, don't talk about, just keep quiet, because like, you're bothering people if you put it out there in normal land. But then I'm like, but the whole reason that it's not known about is because people haven't talked about it before. And so what's the reason? So I have to really kind of take a look at my own stress and look at what my end goal reason is. And really, like, most people, they don't really care about your life more than like for 30 seconds, right? Like, they're not going to think about it as soon as they're done scrolling. But yeah, we think about things all the time, and we can add all sorts of layers of the stress onto us. So I think that anything that's going to be a stressful situation in life is going to be multiplied. If you're a widow, trauma, yeah, if you have kids, yeah, if you're kidless, like, sometimes I get stressed out that someone's going to talk to me about, well, why aren't you dating right now? It's like, I'm overwhelmed by that. Like, dating for me right now, super overwhelming.
Me too.
Sorry for all of those who it's good for right now. But for me, I'm like, it's something that, like, no, not now.
Also, our empty nest widows, those guys also have a tough road to walk down as well. So shout out to you guys too. Social media for me is also really hard because I compare myself, and I even compare myself to the other widows. So
you do
have to actively not do that. But you guys,
do you compare yourself to me?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? Wait, I want to hear about it. Tell me why.
Well, I saw your reel about the salt and vinegar potato chips today.
Mm-hmm. Wait, been like 2 months.
I know. You know what's always so funny about that is, like, it will just come through when I'm scrolling, like, regularly. And I sat and I was like, wait, that's Scott. Like, I see dead people and I, like, know who they are before I notice, like, who the thing came from. So
how did it just come out, though? Like, it weird. I don't
know. It just, like, I was scrolling and it came. Anyway, that's probably not important, but.
One tip that helps me always is if I wake up and I do not look at my phone and I don't check my emails and I don't check my texts and I don't check my Instagram and I just get out of bed and have a little morning routine, even if the routine is 10 minutes long, I always am in a better focused state to handle stress.
Interesting.
But then I get in the habit of, like, but I want to see this, or, like, I want to, like, play Candy Crush, or, like, I want to look at this skate video. So I grab my phone. But I think there's something about those outside things bringing in additional stress or just bringing in additional thoughts. And when we're not ready, like, maybe in that part of the day to navigate that, it can help us start our day out kind of chaotic. So that's one tip that's helped me. What's helped you?
That's funny, because I wake up every day and that's how I wake myself up. It's like trying to read Instagram and Facebook. You know, something else that we didn't talk about was that a lot of people turn to a higher power or a religion or a spirituality to help them and ask for, like, strengthening power. And I definitely do that some, you know, like, please somebody help me. And I don't know if it's actually helping, but it makes me feel better to, like, feel like I can ask somebody for a little bit of help and hopefully see some of that. And then just asking actually other people for help too. I just need help, and I have to, like, not worry about the judgment that comes from it, but it's really hard. I'm not like minimizing any of that.
Yeah. We need help from all angles, I would say. And mm-hmm. meditation and prayer or channeling something, those are all kind of in the same category, and whatever people's beliefs are, like, awesome. Yeah. Do you? And I know, like, for my mom, that's something that really, really, really helps her, like, noticeably be super, super more calm than she was before. Or, like, I can see it in her face and, like, in everything. I can feel it in the house when she has done something like that or has gone somewhere where she's able to shut things out, you know, and calm down. So, yeah. And for somebody else, that might be going to the mountains and, like, sitting in the dirt and being like, I'm going to ground my feet in the dirt.
I like to do that too. I go swimming and feel the water all around your body. Like, that's also very grounding. So, you guys, we're so sorry that you have to deal with overwhelm. It's a real thing. It is something that is really hard to deal with in regular life. And a lot of these things apply to regular life, and they're just magnified in widow life. So,
mm-hmm. Try to give yourself a break if you can. And we understand that we like to hold ourselves up to a high standard of doing more than just getting out of bed. But sometimes, like, that's all you can do. So,
and we're definitely having frozen chicken nuggets for dinner tonight. So there you go.
I'm going to have a protein shake. Actually, food and getting food in my body or caring about food, very overwhelming.
Yeah. All right. Well, Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
Let us know what things overwhelm you and maybe some of your strategies for dealing with some of that stuff.
Yeah, they're going to happen. And we can all help each other, even from far and wide across the internet, across the world, or maybe in other galaxies. Aliens, please help us.
I hope so. I'm Anita.
I'm Mel.
We're two young widows. We're trying to help you figure out widow.
Be
to
now. This is my favorite thing to discuss with you.
Tell me, what is it?
One of my favorite things. I do enjoy tacos and cheese and dogs. This is about how you cannot pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a phone plan, especially when you're a widow, your person is dead, you might have kids, you might need another option, and you just want your phone to work, you want unlimited texting and service, and you want it to be like $25 a month.
It blows my mind that they have plans that start at $15 a month. That is so cheap. And the cool thing is it uses other 5G networks, and so you don't have to pay extra for that, and you still get great service.
Yep. Anita and I have traveled all over, and I have used my phone. So I highly recommend it. And my mom's even on it. When my dad died, we put his phone down to the cheapest plan, which is $15 a month. And I think my mom's on the $20 a month plan, and it's so worth it. It's so much cheaper than what we were all paying before. So I highly recommend it if you're on a budget or not. Who cares? Ryan Reynolds is in charge of the company, and they send you free stickers with Ryan Reynolds temporary tattoos. It's kind of the best. So if somebody wants to sign up, what can they do, Anita?
Go to trymintmobile.com/WWDN. Seriously, you guys, such a great idea. Save yourself some money.
And if you're worried about losing data or having any changes with your phone, not going to happen. They walk you through it. Everything's fine. It's the easiest process of all time. Again, that's
trymintmobile.com/WWDN.